们向法师 We bow to today's teacher bow. Please have a seat. 各位请坐。
Okay, let's get the papers that we can start. Okay. Chinese first.
无上甚深微妙法，百千万劫难遭遇。我今见闻得受持，愿解如来真实义。 The unsurpassed, profound, and sublime Dharma is difficult to encounter even in a billion aeons. Today we see, hear, receive, and uphold it, vowing to fathom the true meaning of the Tathagata. Thank you.
So, today's talk, we still continue the Sutra of the Tathagata. Before I start, I would like to do the correction. I think I say it wrong in English about the story of Master Dao Sheng. So when he have no audience at all except stones,to deliver the Dharma talk, he asked the stone, you know, is it right that every sentient being has Buddha nature? So the stone knocked the head. Okay, I said wrong. Should be right. Yes, every sentient being has Dharma nature. 那我就是在开始之前呢，我先做一点更正哈，我发现我讲英文的时候讲错了哈，就是说道生大师哈在问石头说，每一个众生都有佛性对吗？然后这个石头是点头说是哈，不是说不是哈，他是点头说是哈。Okay, and last talk we talk about the four upside down views, and people still ask me still has a little bit confusion.So I clarify a little bit. For ordinary sentient beings like us, still in samsara, we have four upside down views that we think that everything is permanent, including our life. And we think that all the pleasure that we get from our five organs are true happiness. And we think that the body and mind that compose the self is true self. And we think that our body and mind is pure. So, and including the environments are pure. So this is the first level of four upside down views that we think the worldly phenomena is permanent. It is happiness. It has the self and it's pure.那我在有人还是有一点对四颠倒还不是很清楚哈，那我再重复一下，就是说当我们一般的凡夫呢，我们有四种颠倒，就是常乐我净，认为呢世间的一切现象是可以永恒的哈，可以永恒不变的哈，所以也会有一个灵魂哈，然后我们这个五根啊跟外境接触的时候所得到的欲乐呢是非常快乐的，那我们的身心组合的这个我就是我，就是一个真我，然后身心是清净的，这个世界是很快乐很好的地方。 Then the Buddha told us the four Dharma will to tell us we need to practice because everything is impermanent. and we have dukkha. Because no matter what we get, even the pleasure, even the samadhi pleasure we got, we never satisfied, so we have suffering. And the body and mind is not our true self. There is no self. And everything is impure. This is to encourage all the practitioners to let go what we attached, the worldly phenomena.
所以佛呢就开始讲四圣谛哈，他告诉我们说，我们执着的常乐我净，其实是无常苦无我不净的。他告诉我们说，要放下执着，好，不要去执着那不真实的东西。
And yet, when Buddha continued his teaching, he need to come back before he went to the Nirvana. He need to reemphasize what the core teaching of Buddhism is: permanent happiness, true self, and purity. That is at the Buddha's level that we talk about the permanent happiness and true self and purity. That means even though we talk about impermanent dukkha, no self, and impurity, that cannot be another attachment for us, and then so we will go into nihilism. Is that right? Nihilism, that we think, you know, nothing exists. This is not the purpose of the Buddhist teaching, and the ultimate the Buddha want to teach us is to tell us what is the true permanence, what is the true happiness, what is the true self, and what is the true purity. And that is our Tathagata Gabbara. When we enter into Nirvana, everyone see our Buddha nature, everyone see the Tathagata Gabbara, and we know what is permanent, what is happiness, what is true self, and what is purity. So this kind of teaching, it has three levels. It happens a lot in Buddha's teaching, just like in Diamond Sutra.
那佛陀在入涅以前呢，他必须要重申，他必须要总结他的教导。那他必须要重申说，这49年的说法，他要告诉我们的最终目的是常乐我净。什么是真正的常乐我净？那唯有在成佛了哈，真正的入涅槃成佛的时候，我们就可以看到我们自己的佛性，还就是我们的如来藏，它是真正的常乐我净。那在这样的一个三个层次的教导里面呢，常常出现在佛陀的教导，就像《金刚经》所讲的哈 ，Buddha says in the Diamond Sutra say.What I say, you have a lot of merit means it's not a lot of merit. That's why I say it's a lot of merit. 在《金刚经》里面，佛陀常常会三番转哈。他说：“佛说福德多，即非福德多；是名即福德多，对不对？”那在这边就是佛说常乐我净，即非常乐我净，是名常乐我净。它最主要就是在破除我们凡夫的知见，然后不要执着两端之后，才能够得到真正的知见。好，当我们也有福德，对不对？可是你不能执着福德。当你不执着有福德没有福德的时候，你的福德才是真正的多，你才能够看到真正的福德。So when we talk about merit, it is until we are not attached to the merits we got, and we are not attached to how much merits we got, and then we can get the true merits. So it's three levels of teaching that Buddha always gave, especially in Diamond Sutra. Okay, so this is a very important concept, because when we talk about the true permanent happiness, true self, and purity, we cannot confused with the first level, the samsaric
permanent happiness, self and purity. Okay. 那所以这个观念是非常重要，因为在讲如来藏的时候，大家不要去跟那有染污的哈，是凡夫的常乐我今混淆在一起。Okay, so the core is from the illusory self and become no self and to get to the true self. 那这几个四颠倒的这个教导呢，它的核心就是在告诉我们什么是虚妄的我，然后变成什么是无我，然后才能够看到真正的我。Okay, so this is just the refresh, the Tathagata Gabbara. Tathagata means Buddha. Gabbara means embryo that buried everything. Okay, so we have the first miraculous display that we have Buddha, the lotus flower, and all the lotus, the petals got wilted, and yet Buddha manifest. So I summarize the process is Buddha displayed numerous lotus flowers everywhere, and it suddenly wilted. And countless Buddhas appears with dignified appearance, and they sit on the lotus cup, the sea cups, and then emitting great bright lights, and it's very rare, and everybody show their respect. 那我刚刚就是要重复一下说，我们上次讲经最后的时候是在讲如来他的一开始哈续的时候，他有一个神变，他呢忽然呢变出了无数无量的各种颜色的花，那个莲花好漂亮哦，然后开了，绽开之后，忽然之间不知道为什么变枯萎了，而且变得很恶臭，然后之后呢又无量的佛呢出现在那个莲花座上，而且相好庄严，然后呢放大光明，非常的稀有，大家都非常的恭敬。那 so this scenario, it will usually the scenario will be beautiful flowers, they blossom and the Buddha show up, right? It will be perfect. How come there is a process that the flower, the petals, the beautiful petals wilted and become disgusting?那这个过程中，就是一般我们都会想说，哎呀，这个莲花视线绽开好漂亮啊，然后佛就从中间视线，那不是我们那个西方极乐世界有没有都是这样子讲的吗？这不是一个比较完美的过程吗？那问题就来了，为什么中间要插一个那个花瓣全部枯萎而且产生恶臭，然后佛才从里面出来呢？这个场景好像跟我们一般看的不太一样，所以大家心里就很纳闷说，诶，可怎么会有这一段过程。 So Buddha knows that everyone is questioning about this process. So Buddha say, if you have question, you can ask, right? So based on the question that the Bodhisattva asked, why there is a processthat the petals wilted and become disgusting. And Buddha give 9 analogies. There are 9 analogies called Buddhas in wilted flowers and so on and so forth, until the last one is called casting a statue of pure gold. All these 9 analogies has one purpose, is to explain one Dharma. What is one Dharma? All sentient beings possessed the Tathagata's wisdom, the Tathagata's vision, and the Tathagata's body. 那菩萨佛陀开放 Q&A 哈，让大家问问题的时候，菩萨就起来问说，
这个过程里面为什么要有一个过程是所有的花瓣变枯萎变恶臭呢？那基于这个问题呢，佛陀展开了九个比喻，从尾花有佛喻一直到呢这个住经里面有金像，住金像喻、这个喻九个比喻里面呢全部都为了是要解释一个法，所以我们通常会讲说一法九喻，就是如来藏经的一个核心内容。那这一个法是什么呢？它就是在说一切众生皆具如来，如来智、如来眼跟如来身。那 because this is the core dharma that Buddha want to deliver, so I need to spend some time to explain what are these. 所以我就因为这是佛陀要告诉我们真正的核心的内容，所以我把这个如来身、如来眼如来智、如来眼、如来身呢，跟大家做一个解释哈。那我从如来身开始解释。I would like to start from the Tathagata's body. How come there is no animation? Okay. Usually we talk about Buddha has three body called Trikaya. The highest level is called the Dharma body. The example is Varachana Buddha. And the Dharma body has no form, no physical form whatsoever. It represents the true Dharma, the true, the ultimate Buddha nature. So we cannot see it. So the wisdom and compassion exist. So we call it Buddha Dharma body. 那佛呢，一般来说可以简单的来说是佛有三种身体哈，一种最高层次的叫做法性身。好，那我们常常听到有没有供养的时候是清净法身，比如遮那佛。那这个法身呢，它代表的就是我们圆满的佛性，它没有形体的哈，它就是代表如来清净的智慧跟慈悲，好，没有一个真正的形体。The second body is called reward body or retribution body, and the example is Rochana Buddha. When we see the Buddha statue, not Buddha statue, real Buddha statue, when we say that, you know, in the Western paradise, there is Amitabha Buddha. And when we say Manjushri Bodhisattva, when we say Guanyin Bodhisattva, they are all in their reward body. Okay, it's not physical body here. The third level is called the manifested body, is our physical body that we can touch and we have certain shape. Okay, so the reward body is very majestic, very dignified. But not everyone can see it. Okay, so only if you have merits that you can see it. 那第二个呢是叫做十报身，那是佛菩萨们他们在修行过程中得到的一个报身。那我们常常讲西方极乐世界有阿弥陀佛，对不对？然后我们有观音菩萨、大势至菩萨，然后我们常常讲文殊菩萨，对不对？那他们示现出来的就是十报身，那不是每个人都可以看到的，就是当你有福德因缘的时候你就看得到。那通常佛菩萨的形象都是非常殊胜庄严的。那我们的接下去就是我们的所谓的应化身，就是我们的这个肉身哈。那这个肉身就是通常有一定的形体，然后是可触摸的哈。And regarding our physical body, the most famous one is Shakyamuni Buddha. He was born in India 2000 years ago, plus ago, that he manifest as a
a prince in India and start to practice and deliver the Dharma. And that is the manifested body. 那释迦牟尼佛在两千多年以前就是出生为一个王子，他拥有的就是一个肉身，就是应化身。他来到世间修行成佛，然后来教化众生。 And overall, Buddha can manifest in the three forms at his will. Okay, and no matter what he manifests, there is a characteristic that usually the appearance of the Buddha or Bodhisattva, we call it dignified or majestic. Usually in the sutra, they say that Buddha has 32 major characteristics and 80 secondary characteristics. And it's written very detailed in the sutra, you know, how dignified, you know, for example, the tongue, you know, very long, the arms, the head, everything is described. 那我们在讲佛呢，他可以随他自己的所愿来示现这三种身。好，不管他怎么示现呢，那通常我们看到的都是佛的相好庄严，即便释迦牟尼佛也是相好庄严。那相好庄严呢，在佛经里面常常讲是什么？三十二相，八十种好，对不对？从这个眉间放白毫光，舌头广长舌相，有没有？手臂及膝，然后这个发髻怎么样？所有的特征都有描写出来。And those characteristics not just about the shape of the outlook, it also describes the manner of that person. So when we say one person is dignified or majestic, means everything is just right. For example, we all like big eyes, right? But if my eye is this big, occupy my half face, will that look dignified? No, it looks terrible, right? And how about my tongue? If my tongue is long and to the ground, you will say I'm a ghost, right? So every size, every shape should be just right. 那我们讲相好庄严，不是说眼睛大就好呢。假设我的眼睛大到我的脸的一半，你们一定吓死了，对不对？假设我的舌头长到地，你们一定说我是鬼。所以所谓的相好庄严是每一个部分它都刚刚好，非常的刚好，看起来非常的舒服。好，那不是说哪一个是怎么样。 And also talk about the manner or the virtue from the outlook appearance. For example, we know that some movie star, they are very beautiful, but when you get close to them, you don't feel comfortable. And some of them, you will generate strange feeling. And you know, some of them, you just don't like them, but they look beautiful. That we won't say that their appearance is dignified or majestic. But Buddha's appearance is not just the outlook, but when you get close to them, your mind will automatically get peaceful and your mind will calm down. And we call it the virtue, the merits and virtue of that person. 所以我们当讲相好庄严的时候，不一定是说漂亮嘛。当我们有看到有一些影星影歌星不是很漂亮吗？有一些是什么性感影星，看到的时候你会产生不敬的想法，有一些你看了就很讨厌嘛。好，那真正一个相好庄严的人是他不仅是外观非常的好看，同时呢他的气质
当我们接近他的时候，我们自然而然会心平气和，我们自然而然的不会有任何的邪念。那真的是用，那我们就是讲什么，一个人的威德，向好瞻言还包括了他的威德，让我们的心自然而然的沉静下来。OK, that's the body. And we intrinsically has this three body. What is the Tathagata's vision? First, physical eyes. We all have physical eyes, right? So, how far can we see?And we have near sight, we have far sight, right? And then we have, what is that called? That everything you see is fuzzy, right? We really cannot see much. 那第一个如来眼呢，有五种。第一个是肉眼，释迦牟尼佛也有肉眼嘛，那肉眼是很局限的，我们其实没有办法看很远的，那常常又有近视眼，然后现在老了又有远视，对吧？好，然后一下青光眼，对不对？这个模模糊糊的嘛，哈。所以这个肉眼是实在是非常的有局限的，哈。Sometimes we get wrinkles, then we worry, right? 有时候就眼睛又有皱鱼尾纹了，然后就很担心，对不对 ？The second level is called heavenly eye. They can see very, very far.And very, very subtle. They even can see the future. The causes and conditions of the future. So sometimes they can predict the future. 那第二个叫天眼，天眼的话就有点有神通了，它可以看非常非常的远，而且可以看非常非常的细。那它通常可以看到未来的因缘果，所以它通常会有神通，会预知未来。我告诉你长大后会怎样，未来会发生什么事情。那这个通常 usually when you practice very hard, advanced practitioners sometimes they can get the heavenly eyes. We call it, sometimes it's supernatural power that we can get by the practitioner. 那精进修行者，大修行人通常有时候可以得到的一个神通就是天眼。 And the third is called wisdom eye. At this level, usually Arhat has this wisdom eyes. They can detach from the five skandhas. They can detach all the influence from the five skandhas, and yet they still attach to a nirvana. They think that there is a level of attainment that they can get, is they can attain the so-called nirvana. 那第三个叫做慧眼，那这个慧眼呢是通常呢是证得阿罗汉果的人可以有慧眼，他通常已经不被五蕴所牵绊，不会被五蕴的种种色，这个色身心色心二法所牵绊，但是他还会执着有一个涅槃可证。 So we call this level the people who has wisdom eye, they can already let go of the physical self, but they still attach to Dharma self.所以有慧眼的人他可以放下人我的执着，可是还执着有一个法我。 The fourth level is called Dharma eyed. So all the Bodhisattva, after they obtain the Dharma body, they have Dharma eyes. But for Bodhisattva, they still have a last ignorance thatthey still keep. For example, they think there are sentient beings to be delivered. This is the ignorance. 那法眼呢通常是菩萨，菩萨高阶的菩萨，他证得证得法身的菩萨呢，他就有法眼了哈。那这个法眼当然就是前面的都具足之外呢，他也是非常的有能力，但是他呢因为还有一分的无明没有断，所以他没有办法证得佛眼。那分无明呢，就是他认为还有众生可度的这一分无明，让他没有办法证得佛眼。So I remember in the sutra, and Buddha asked some arhat to look at some very low class labor that person wanted to become a monastic a disciple of Bodhisattva Shakyamuni Buddha. And Buddha asked one arhat, say, you know, do you think he can become a monk? And the arhat just see and say, no. From as far as what I can see, this person never accumulate any merits to become a monk. So he cannot be a monk. He cannot attain the Buddhahood. And Buddha say, yes, he does. Many, many couplet ago, he was a person that once he was chased by a tiger or something, and he climbed to the tree, and he remembered to say a word called Buddha. That scenario plant a seed of a merit that many, many couplets later, that he still can become a monk and practice and one day become Buddha. So that means Buddha's eye is more powerful. He can see unlimited, but arhat only can see limited. And so does Bodhisattva. They can see limited. 所以佛眼呢，它是可以无所不看的哈。那在我记得佛经上有一个故事哈，就有一个很卑贱的人要来跟佛陀求出家。那佛陀就问一个阿罗汉弟子说：“你觉得他有因缘出家吗？”那阿罗汉就一直看，他说：“我怎么看这个人没有善根，没办法出家，没办法出道修道成佛。”那佛就跟他说：“有的，在多少多少劫以前，这个人有一次被老虎追啊，他追到树上的时候，他想起一个字，他还不会念阿弥陀佛，他就念一个字，他就念一个佛，就念一个佛这个字，他种下了一个善根，在很多劫以后，这个善根在现在成熟了，他可以出家修道，未来可以成佛。”这个故事就是在说佛的眼他是什么都可以无所不看的，但是佛菩萨的眼呢，他还是有局限性的。 OK, then we talk about Tathagata's wisdom. Sorry, I really cannot find a simple term for the translation, so I just basically translate the meaning. OK, Tathagata has three wisdom, three level of wisdom. First is called the wisdom of knowing the general nature of all dhammas is emptiness, like Sravaka or Pratyaka. They can get this wisdom. 那如来智有三种，第一种叫一切智。一切智就是说知道我们所有佛法的总相是空，总相哦是空性。当我们证得这个空性的时候，就是得到一切智，那声闻缘觉就可以得到一切智，阿罗汉果也可以得到一切智。 The second is called the wisdom of knowing the differences between all dhammas. Okay, this is lowercase dhammas. That means
the Bodhisattva can have this wisdom. That means the Bodhisattva know all the Dhammas, all the differences between Dhammas, so he knows which Dhammas go to who. We have how many sentient beings? We have 84,000 vexations, right? So who, Bodhisattva knows which Dhamma, which teaching for which one. Okay, so he got to know all the differences between all the Dhammas. 那第二个呢，叫做道种智。道种智就是说，他知道所有一切佛法的别相，每一个法它的不同在哪里，它可以怎么用。那菩萨有这样的智慧，因为菩萨要救度众生，对不对？我们有无量的众生，我们有84,000的烦恼，什么样的状况之下该给这个众生什么样的佛法，他必须清楚知道这个佛法是什么，怎么用。But the last level is called the complete wisdom. Only Buddha has it. The one has the first wisdom or the second wisdom, they are not complete because they still have attachment. For the first level, they attach to the emptiness. So sometimes they just want to, you know, go out of the three rooms, and they don't want to come back to this samsaric world, right? For the Bodhisattva, they know the difference. They are so busy helping people, but emptiness and all the Dhammas are one, are the same. No sentient beings to deliver. Differences and no differences are the same. Only Buddha has this kind of wisdom. 那第三种叫做一切种智，也就是说一切智跟道种智呢，它其实是不二无二无别的。正得一切智的人，他知道啊，一切都是空性。声闻缘觉的人，他不想在娑婆世界度众生的，他要自了汉，自己就出三界去了。那佛菩萨呢非常忙啊，因为他说这么多众生要救度，对不对？哇，他勤练于一切的佛法，到处在救度众生。可是他佛菩萨还有众生可度的这个念头，那他就没有办法放下那一个无明，证得所谓佛的呢空性总相别相没有差别，空性跟这个方便法是一个法，没有众生可度，一切本来具足，这就是一切种智。 Okay, now let's get back to the first analogy, the Buddhas in the wilted flowers. So we saw the scenario, and Buddha say that to sever those afflictions, I need to tell you what is the true Dhamma. From my Buddha eyes, every one of you has already Buddha Gabbara. So the true Dhamma, the correct views, I need to teach you so that you can see it. So the flowers, the beautiful flowers, is actually an analogy of our vexation. And when the petal wilted, it means we use the Dhamma to destroy all affliction. And then the Buddha nature manifests.所以刚刚有讲哈，我刚刚忘了讲中文。佛说哈，刚刚尾花有没有有佛喻？这个过程之中呢，佛陀说， 其实花，美丽的花其实是我们众生的烦恼。好，当这个花枯萎的时候，表示我们去除了烦恼，然后这个时候呢，佛性才会显现。为了这个，为了教导我们这个呢，佛必须要跟我们说什么是正法。好，佛说其实从他的佛眼看来，一切的众生都皆具佛性。好，那我们一般看到漂亮的花，对不对？就是哇，好美哦。可是佛看到的是什么？花苞里面的佛性。So when we see the beautiful flowers, we will attach to it. So beautiful, right? But from Buddha's eye, they see the Buddha nature in the flower's bud. So this is the analogy for our attached love that we need to destroy. 那这个比喻呢，为花有佛喻的比喻，是主要要强调告诉我们要去除贪爱。花很漂亮，对不对？是我们的贪爱，要把它破除，才可能见到佛。那在 So in the sastras of treasure of nature, it described this analogy, saying that the petal wilted is to sever, is the process to sever the affliction from eagerness. And only by the wisdom that go beyond the three realms can do it. 那在宝性论里面讲到这个比喻的时候，他是说这个花枯萎是在破除我们的贪食烦恼，破除我们的贪欲。那要怎么破除呢？那唯有出世间智能断，就是想要出世间，想要出三界的这个智慧，才能够断除我们的贪欲。好，也就是要证成阿罗汉哦，你才可能出三界。出三界之后，你才能够断贪。那我们大乘佛教里面来讲，就是要有什么处理心。So from the Mahayana path, we emphasize.The renunciation. The flower is beautiful, but you have to let go. It's not our Buddha nature. The Buddha nature is inside. Yes? Eager. Yeah, yeah. The craving, the attached love,Yeah. So the eagerness here is represent the craving, attached love, you know, attached to the beautiful flower, whatever the, we be attached to the beautiful thing, the things we love. Including the worldly phenomena. We need to renunciate. We cannot bounded by those worldly phenomena. So Robert said, you know, sometimes the life is beautiful.Sometimes happy, right? Yeah. But we cannot attach to it. 那在宝性论里面就讲说要处理心，要我们要处理，对不对？那包括我们对于世间一切美好的现象，好，我们都要处理。好， That include the beautiful experience that we get from meditation.包括我们禅坐的时候美好的经验通通要放掉。哈，那师父 taught us in the book, that's simplified into some practical ways that we can practice in our daily life. First, we need to clarify what's our needs and what's our wants. We need to know what is our life value.Contains subjectivity and objectivity. Subjectively, it's ourself. You know, what is our self need? And objectively, it's, you know, what the society think.
那师父跟我们提出来哈，要破除这个贪欲，要怎么在日常生活实践呢？四要里面哈，先分别什么是需要，什么是想要，要怎么去分别？第一个，先了解我们自己的生活价值，有主观的自我中心的价值，还有客观的社会环境。 So for example, if you can live very simple, if you can just eat one meal per day, that's okay. But some people need to eat three meals, right? And that's okay too, right? That's your need. And what is the society? Look at us. If you are the president of Microsoft, can you wear slipper and dirty simple jeans to the company? The society has expectation that you need to wear suits, right? So suits is what you need. And you need to go to different conference, you need to go to different party. So you need different suit or even tuxedo, right? So tuxedo is your need. But for ordinary people, maybe we don't need tuxedos, right? 那所以主观的自我中心跟客观的社会环境呢，它就包括说，诶，假设了哈，我可以一天吃一餐，我的身体 OK, 那我就吃一餐。可是我的身体需要吃三餐，那三餐就是我的需要。好，那 dessert 就是不需要的嘛，好，那就是想要，对不对？那客观的社会环境呢？假设我今天是微软的总裁，好，董事长，我不能去上班去开会穿拖鞋穿一个牛仔裤吧？我必须要穿正式场合，我要穿西装，对不对？我有很多的 party 要去参加，我甚至要穿什么燕尾服。好，那燕尾服就变成是我的需要，不是我的想要。好，但是我们一般的人，假设我们不用穿到燕尾服，我们就不用去买燕尾服嘛。好，我们也不需要100双高跟鞋嘛。所以你想要跟需要要从我们的生活价值的主观跟客观里面去判断。 And the third is the basic needs. We have material and spiritual basic needs. So just like I say, how much material we need to have a basic life, to have a healthy, happy life, we need to know. And the extra are wants, we don't need it. And spiritualHow much love do you need? Don't know, huh? 另外一个是我们要了解我们的基本需求需要哈，包括物质的跟精神的。那物质的我刚刚有讲过哈，什么能够让我们维持基本的生存，什么又可以让我们维持我们社会地位里面所需要的东西。那另外一个是精神的需要哈，我们常常讲我需要爱，对不对？我们到底需要多少爱啊？How do you want your spouse to love you? How much do you expect your children to love you back? Do you expect any love from other people? A lot of love to make you happy? 我们是不是觉得我的先生一定要多爱我才叫爱，我的小孩子要怎么样的回馈我才叫爱，是不是？我的亲戚朋友我需要关怀，法师都不关怀，我没有被爱到，是不是这样？怎么样要人家怎么样爱你你才会高兴呢？We need to ask ourselves to give or to take. Spiritual, what is the spiritual need? Okay. The second, worthy and priority. That including fame, money, power, position, and love. 第二个是能要该要的，我们要分清楚，好，包括名利权位感情这些东西，能要的该要的我们要知道。 First, 师父 ask us, Do we deserve it? Do we deserve the fame, the money, the power, the position, and the love? 师父问我们说，这些名利权位爱是不是我们的能力跟我们的付出所应该得到的？我们是不是过度的要过超过我们自己，不是名至实归的要这些名利权位爱呢？The second, are you asking too much? 是不是已经是水到渠成？我们是不是有一点过度强求了呢？ Okay, let's talk about Jeremy Lin. 那我们来谈谈我们的现在很热门的林书豪吧。So, what does he got now? Fame? Money? Power? Position? And love? I heard a lot of people want to introduce girls to date with him. What did he say? He said he would rather play with his teammates than go out with those famous girls. 那我们讲那个林书豪，对不对？他现在有了什么？名，有利了，对不对？权不知道，有没有地位？在球队还是有点地位了哈。爱呢？听说他没有女朋友了哈，所以现在好多人啊，要介绍东西方的女明星给他了哈。那我在报纸上看到他的回应是说，他宁愿跟他的队友去玩去打球，他也不想去跟他们约会了哈。So, once we know, we ask ourselves, if the fame not come with our ability, not our hard work, then that's dangerous. You won't keep it long. And the happiness will become a suffering because you're going to lose it, and lose it very soon. And sometimes, things not belong to you, including love. You ask for it, you just suffer for your whole life, and you never get it. Right? 所以啦，什么东西来了，我们问问看自己，是不是我努力而来的，是不是我应该得的。好，有时候不该要的东西你要了哈，马上你又会失去。好，不该要的，你不应该强求要的爱呢，你去强求它，你一辈子就是辛苦，你也永远得不到真正的爱。 OK, so needs versus want, worthy versus priority, that's the Sufu ways to teach us how to let the petal wilted the beautiful outlook, and let's get to the Buddha nature directly. But some people say, ah, I cannot do it. I know, but I just cannot do it. I still have expectation. I still want a lot of things to make me happy. Sifu told us, once we try our best, the more we get or the less we get, we just be content. No matter we get it or not get nothing, be content. Just be content in all conditions, because everything is already within us. 所以师父常常讲说，我们做什么事情，我们就是尽心尽力的去做就对了。好， 尽心尽力的去做就对了。当你得多了，你多得了 OK 你也满足，但是你少得了哈，不要觉得不公平，你也觉得满足，多也足少也足，对不对？有很满足，对不对？没有呢一样满足，你怎么样我都满足。好，这就是放下那美丽的花朵的最好的方法，就是反正我已经很努力做了，什么样的结果我都接受，因为所有的东西我们本质具足，所有我们需要的东西我们都本质具足。 All the things we need is already within us, so we won't have emotion response to all the consequences. We only need to ask ourselves, have we tried our best? Once we tried our best, we are content with all the consequences, all the result. We are content. So that's the way, you know, we try to depart from the suffering. We call it dukkha, right? Not satisfied with everything, so we suffer. But now we content. Everything we content, then we are not suffer anymore. Second analogy. The honey in a tree, surrounded by countless bees. 第二个比喻呢，叫做群蜂绕蜜语，哈，就是说 there is a honey, what is this called? Honey nest? Beehive. Honey on the tree, right? And there are delicious pure honey, but all the bees surrounded it. Have you ever do something on the bee heart and then chased by a whole bunch of bees? That's terrible, right? So, if we want to get the honey, what should we do? What should we do? What do we do? 第二个群蜂绕蜜语，就是说一棵树上有一个蜂巢，对不对？啊，里面有很 pure 的蜂蜜啊，很好吃的蜂蜜，对不对？那我们要去拿蜂蜜，对不对？那假设一个不小心你就被一堆蜂追，对不对？好，很可怕啊，哦，那我们要怎么样，想要拿那个蜜要怎么拿？ Break the tea heart? No. Here, the bees represent our affliction. The honey represent the Tathagatagabra. So we need to get our Tathagatagabra, but we have to face the bees. What should we do? 蜂蜜是我们的烦恼，那如来藏是那个蜜蜂是我们的烦恼，蜂蜜是我们的如来藏，对不对？我们想要如来藏，对不对？结果要拿不能拿，因为有很多蜜蜂它会来蛰我们的。Is that true? We have a lot of vexation. And Sifu say, we need to practice. We need to get rid of the vexations. But once we want to get rid of the vexation, we are even more suffered. We are suffer more because we cannot get rid of the vexation. We are bitten by the bees. We are bitten by our vexation.好，师父常说我们要修行啊，要断习气啊，烦恼要断，对不对？哦，不修行还好，一修行发现自己怎么这么糟糕，而且哦，要对抗我们的习气，对不对？越对抗越气，对不对？就不修行还好，一修行更生气。然后呢，本来是想要拿蜂蜜的，就被那个蜜蜂蛰得满头包，被我们的烦恼的蛰得满头包，更加的烦恼了，那这怎么办呢？The Buddha say, you know, I need to explain the expediently
I need to tell you the true Dharma in expediently so that we can get rid of the bees and get honey. And then we should have, we need to equip us with the eloquence, and so that we can deliver all kinds of Dharma to benefit others and to help others to get enlightened, and then use our great compassion to help sentient beings. 那佛说了哈，说为了要取这个蜂蜜哈，我必须要方便的来说正法，好，来除去这个烦恼的蜂，然后开发如来的蜜，好，然后呢，让大家都具足无碍的辩才，可以演说这个甘露的法水，让大家都能够正觉，然后以大悲心来济群生。In the Sastra of Treasure Nature, it says, this analogy is to help us to sever the affliction from aversion. And again, only the wisdom that go beyond the three realms can help us do it. And we need bodhicitta. 在宝性论里面讲，这个比喻是要帮助我们破除嗔痴烦恼，也唯有出师先至能断，最重要的是要发菩提心。 So our anger, our hatred is like the bees. If we don't handle our anger and hatred carefully, expediently, we always get bit by our angerby our hatred. We get hurt by them, just like the bees. We want the pure things, but we are bitten by our anger and hatred. 所以我们是不是有这样的一个经验，我们的嗔心，我们的恨，常常是伤害我们自己的。我们想要做好事，可是事情不如我意的时候，我们起的嗔恨心，那个嗔恨心就像蜂蜜蜜蜂一样，常常是追着我们跑，然后追追追跑，不知道跑到哪里去了哈。蜂蜜不知道在遥远的地方。 So we chasing by the angry bees, and we forgot our goal is to get the honey. 常常我们因为嗔心，我们迷失了哈，不知道被追到哪里去了哈。迷失了之后，忘记了我们是要来取蜂蜜的哈。那最重要的菩提心 ，Why bodhicitta is very important? Only the compassionate mind can dissolve the angry from our mind. 只有菩提心可以化解我们内心的嗔恨。师父 taught us gratitude. Four kinds of gratitude. First, feeling gratitude to everyone, including the one we like and including the one that hurt us. Second, feeling thankful.We appreciate whatever we have, and we repay, pay back, and then we are not asking for retribution. The third, reforming ourselves. We need to feel repent. We need to feel shameful that we are imperfect.And we need to turn the wheel of compassion and wisdom at the same time to change ourselves, to uplift our character. And only the motivation that we can change ourselves is repentance and the shamefulness. Only we have this kind of mindset, we have motivation to change ourselves. Otherwise, we will think that we are perfect. we don't need to do any change, right? And the third, fourth one is to touching others with virtue. Sometimes we want to change others, right? We want to influence others. So we order our kids, do this, don't do that. We tell our spouse, you know, I don't feel happy when you do this. You change. But Sifu say, no. Use your virtue, use your practice and your merits so that people get close to you, they automatically change themselves. 那师父讲，对自嗔恨要用什么？四感，好，要感恩，在顺境逆境之中，感恩所有给我们帮助，还有给我们打击的人，我们通通要感恩。只要我们心存感恩，我们不会产生嗔恨心。然后我们要感谢，我们要感谢我们拥有的一切。即便是这一口呼吸，我们都要感谢。那感谢之后要怎么样？我们要努力的回馈，但是不求回报。今天父母亲把我们生到这世间上来，有一口呼吸，对不对？不管他们对我们怎么样，只要我们心存一个感谢的心，他给我了一口呼吸，我们就拼命的回馈，不求回报。那感化呢？师父常常说是感化自己，不是感化他人，把小孩子送去感化院，不是，感化的是自己。为什么要感化？因为自己不好，不够好，所以通常要起惭愧跟忏悔的心，才可能想要改变自己的。然后这个时候想要改变呢，需要慈悲跟智慧。对自己要不要慈悲？对自己也要智慧。那接下来是感动，感动是感动他人，不是自己很感动这样。要怎么感动？就是以身作则，你以自己的改变来感动他人，让他自己去感化他自己。你今天忽然变好了，你这个妈妈忽然改变了，你这个先生太太学了佛之后忽然改变了之后，他们也会觉得说，哎，你为什么改变？他也许来想学佛，对不对？那有时候他因为你改变，他也改变，他的态度也放下了。好，所以四感是非常，师父教我们在日常生活中要怎么样方便的来处理那个逆风，有没有？不要硬杠，是从内心里面去转化那个嗔恨心，那逆风就自己跑掉了嘛。那你就可以去取蜂蜜了。 So 师父 taught us these four gratitudes that to face the bees, not fight with them, not challenge them, to use this mindset, no hatred, and the bee will just run away, and then we can easily get the honey. So this process we call it expedient, right?Because the bees will hurt people. So you need to find some way, expedient ways, so that you redirect the bees, and then you can get the honey. 所以它是方便法，方便法，我们要怎么样的能够把蜜蜂引开，然后我们能够轻易的取到那个蜂蜜。I mentioned this before, I just briefly talk about it again. From the book,by Joe Vitale, The Zero Limit, it said the total responsibility. The book says that everything happened in this world is our responsibility because we are one. If there is a crime out there, if there is a terrorist attack, if there is a disaster, that'sall happen in ourself. That's all our responsibility. And yet, we cannot prevent this happening. But one thing we can do
is to keep saying, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. Sometimes things change. If your spouse, your kids, your boss, your friend being harsh to you, or you have misunderstanding, some situation that you cannot handle and you don't know how to handle, keep saying these words in your mind to that person, and according to the books, things will change. And why? Because your mind, your attitude change. 好，那这个我以前讲过哈，所以全责任在这本书叫做《临界点》里面的哈，里面有讲到说一个观念哈，跟我们佛教的大我很像。所有世界上发生的事情，包括什么犯罪呀、这个恐怖分子啦、天灾人祸，全部都是我们的责任。好，因为所有的存在都是跟我一体的。好，所以不要去责怪那个人，而是我们要惭愧我们的心。所以书上都教说，哎，我们就常常说要说 I'm sorry, please forgive me, 就是说我抱歉，请你原谅我，谢谢你，我爱你。好，假设我们周围有一些人事物是的冲突矛盾是无法现在处理的，我们也没有办法处理，不知道怎么处理的时候呢，那书上就教说，你就常常对着那个人，对着那件事情说抱歉，请你原谅我，谢谢你，我爱你。那很大部分的时候呢，事情就会改变了。那主要的原因就是我们的内心的心态改变了。好，那这也就是师父为什么要教我们四感，其实化解冲突嗔恨最好的方式就是感恩。 The third, the kernels with the husk. The husk is so raw, right? You cannot eat it. So some ignorant people think that this is not edible, throw it away. But if you peel off the husk, actually it's a very delicious rice inside. So this analogy is trying to tell us the husk is our affliction and the rice is our tathagata, gabra. 那第三个呢叫做糠秽梗梁玉，它是在说我们那个稻米长出来有那个壳，不是硬邦邦不能吃吗？假设我们是一个很无知的人，不晓得那是里面有好吃的白米，那我们那拿那个粗粗的东西，我们讲到这个很像那个野花，有没有不倒水不能吃，你就把它丢掉了，不晓得说里面有好吃的东西。那这个比喻就是比喻说那个外面那个壳啊，那粗粗的壳是我们的烦恼，那里面好吃的米呢是我们的如来藏。那我们要怎么样才能够把那个壳剥掉，然后去吃到里面好吃的米呢？How can we remove the husk and eat the delicious rice? The Buddha says that for this, I need to teach the Dharma of eradication. I don't know if this translation is right. Means the Dharma that help us to let go and to get rid of things. And so everyone can get here. Remove the husk.Everyone can get the wisdom of knowing the general nature of all dharmas, its emptiness. And then we can attend or walk on the unsurpassed path. 那这个比喻呢，要怎么样去把那个槽糠这个外面的那个糠壳去除呢？佛说，为了这个呢，我要说除灭法。就是要怎么除灭的法，然后让所有人都得一切智。还记得刚刚讲佛的智第一个 level 是一切智吗？知道一切事物的本性是什么，是空的，就是总相是空的，这个智慧呢让大家能够知道，然后能够速成无上道，就是佛道。
So you see, this level, this analogy, once we remove the husk, we will get the wisdom, the first level of wisdom. So it's very important how we get rid of the tough husk. 那所以很重要是说，诶，那我们要怎么样修行的过程中要把这么这个粗的这个糠给去除，然后可以得到一切智。So, in the Sastra of Treasure Nature, says that this analogy is to help us sever the affliction from ignorance. Again, still we need the wisdom that can go beyond the three realms. And the most important one is we need to have the sanyata, the emptiness, the view of sanyata. The view of emptiness. So the view of sanyata or the view of emptiness is the dharma of eradication or the dharma that can help us to get rid of the husk. 那在宝性论里面就提到说这个比喻呢是最主要在帮助我们破除痴使烦恼，也是唯有出世间智能断。那重要的是我们必须要有什么空正见，所以空正见是帮我们呢去除那个梗梁，有没有那个稻谷外壳的一个什么破除法。So what did 师父 taught us?First level, first, face it and know ourselves. How should we get the view of sanyata, the view of emptiness? We are not saint, we are not bodhisattva, so we cannot get to that point directly, right? So, 师父say, fourth level, first, face it, second, accept it, third,deal with it, and then let go of it. So the practice for us also, we first need to know about ourselves. Second, to affirm ourselves. Third, to grow ourselves. And the last, to dissolve ourselves.Do we face everything we encounter? 那师父在讲，要怎么破除这个这个康哈，有没有？要怎么样得到空正见呢？好，师父跟我们讲是什么？是他。好，那基本上是什么？面对他，接受他，处理他，放下他，对不对？那在我们心灵环保里面的时候是讲说要先认识自我，肯定自我，成长自我，才能够消融自我，这是四个步骤是一起的。那走过这个四个步骤，最后放下消融的时候呢，就是可以跟空性相应的。 So after we go through the four steps until the last, we can let go and dissolve ourselvesThen we are harmonized with the view of emptiness, the view of sanyata. Okay. So, do you know who you are? 请问大家知道自己是谁吗? Who am I? Do you really know who you are? 我们真的知道自己是谁吗? So the first step is already difficult to know who we are. We are not our name, right? We are not our job. And we are not our age. We are not our height. We are not our weight. And we are not even this physical body. And we are not our mental reaction. Today you're angry, tomorrow you're happy. Who is real you? 好，我们认识自己吗？我们不是我们的名字，好，我们也不是我们的身高、体重，对不对？我们甚至不是这个身体，我们也不是我们的心情反应，哈。常常我们今天高兴，明天痛苦，对不对？生气，那请问生气的你是你，还是高兴的你是你？ Don't know. So our abbot always say, the mothers in your brain, in your memory is not your real mother, right? So the you in your mind is not real you. 我们自己心中的自己也不是真正的自己。好。We really cannot picture ourselves. So we need to practice. We need to do meditation. We need to have all kinds of tools that to help us understand who we are. And then, don't be upset. We shouldn't be upset once we will find out who we are. We have a lot of karmas. We have done bad things in the past, in the past life. We are really, really in dangerous situation in the samsara world. But we cannot give up. On the other hand, we need to affirm ourselves that the value of ourselves. 好，常常我们在认识自我的过程中，我们必须要借由修行还有各种的方法来帮助我们了解自己。可是当我们真正了解自己的时候，我们会产生恐惧心，因为第一个生命就无常，对不对？第二个，我们多少的业，多少过去是做的业，数都数不完，然后马上又快要往生了哈。那这怎么面对这个轮回的这个残酷的事实呢？下一辈子要到哪去呢？那我们这个我还有救吗？师父第二步告诉我们，认识自我后一定要肯定自我，不要去自杀哈。No suicide. Once, no matter how lousy we found out ourselves is, just be positive, affirm ourselves, and accept it. Accept who we are. And then that's deal with it or take care of it. How? Upgrade ourselves. 那我们要怎么肯定我们自己？就是直接接受他，我就是这样的人，我就是脾气不好，我就是小气嘛，我就是放不下嘛，我就是情执很重嘛，我就是得理不饶人嘛，这就是我。而且我跟如来的本性是一样的哦，所以我们就来怎么办？我们来处理一下我们现在这个这么悲惨的我们哈，我们来处理一下，要怎么处理呢？最好的方法就是自我成长啊。So how to upgrade ourselves? Dharma? Yeah. We know a lot of Dharma. But have you upgraded? Practice in daily life. Yeah, but we all know that. How we upgrade ourselves? You see, that's all the dharmas that we need to learn. you remember what Buddha say? The Dharma of eradication. 记得佛讲的吗？破除法。破除法是什么？ Sometimes we think that we need to grow ourselves or upgrade ourselves. We need to add things. Right? We learn communication, personality skill, time management. We learn more so that we can upgrade. But Buddha said here is the opposite. If we want to upgrade ourselves, let go. Let go and dissolve ourselves, dissolve our egoness. 对不对？我们常常好像说，哦，我们要自我成长，现在房间有多少课程啊？ Self development 是不是啊？自我成长、自我开发的课程哈，学情绪管理、人际关系、时间管理，我们通常是要加。我们觉得说我们要成长哈，我们就是要加很多东西，然后把自己这样越抬越高，好，叫做成长。但是佛告诉我们，反过来哈，放下它，放下，消融自我，消融自我。Sometimes when we found out we let go more, we let go things, we gain more. But first, we don't believe it. Why we practice offering? Why we practice give away, giving away, giving? Why we practice giving? We try to make more money, right? Now we practice giving.Are you afraid of losing? Do you believe that you will gain more? If not, then we cannot upgrade it. 有没有？我们常常讲说，我们常常说，我要多赚一点钱，我要存老本啊，对不对？可是佛陀会说，布施啊，要练习布施，把东西都布施出去，对不对？那你，请问我们相信说，给是一种获得吗？给了之后我们会获得更多吗？我们相信吗？假设我们不相信，我们的布施都是假的，是交换条件，就200块换一个大牌嘛，是不是这样子？ So if we don't know the true meaning of practicing giving, it only become an exchange. You give yourwife a diamond, you expect her love in return, right? You give, but you expect. That's called exchange, not the practice of giving. But if you give without any expectation, you will get more. One of our followers told us, sometimes he just, once a while, he will write a check, big check to us. And then we worry, you know,Do you have money for your living? You know, 法师, don't worry. You know, how much I give, I donate, somehow, in a couple months, I will earn it back. And even more. I earn even more from my business. And he keep practicing it, and always like that. So he has a faith in giving, in donation.Through his practice, her practice. Then I ask her, you know, what if one day the money you donate didn't have return? 对吧？我们一个信众每常常会写大支票过来哈，那我们就问说，哎，你生活会不会有问题啊？说法师不会了，我每次哈，我捐多少钱哈？我很快的那个钱我就会赚回来的呢，而且有时候比那个钱更多啊。我就说真的吗？他说对呀，这十几年来我屡试不爽。我说哦，那我就问他说，万一有一天你捐出去的钱没有回来怎么办？ So I'm not sure what she would respond. But let go. We need practice, and we need to generate faith. And at that point, we are willing to let go of our egoness, let go of our opinions, let go of our thought. Right? Then we can dissolve ourselves, and the husk can be removed.
所以我们唯有自己一直修行，自己不断的去验证，去验证，然后慢慢的我们才可能放下自我的中心、自我的观点、自我的想法。放下之后，真的放下，一直放下，不求回归的放下之后，我们才能够把那个那么坚硬的壳有没有去掉？去掉之后，我们就看到什么？才能够得到借由这个过程去除的过程，我们去了解什么是空性，什么是空性。Through the process of letting go, we will know the nature of emptiness. That's Sifu's way told us how to practice, how to see the emptiness. Okay? 1 minute. Next time, the goal is submerged into a pit of impure waste. It's not very good translation. 第四个呢是经堕不净处。What does this analogy teach us in practice and in daily life? Come next time, we will finish the rest. 那第四个就是经堕不净处哈。那这个比喻又教导我们什么呢？修行上呢，在社会上教导我们什么呢？好，在成佛之路上呢，我们还需要放下什么呢？好啊，下一次我会把剩下的还有几个四五六七八九，是剩下的六个哈，再跟大家分享。OK。Thank you very much. Okay. We need to transfer the merits.